What are the challenges and considerations in monetizing AI features within Salesforce applications? How can companies balance the cost implications of AI with the need to provide substantial added value to their customers? What are the key factors to consider when integrating generative AI into your product? Welcome to Artificial Intelligence Innovations meets AppExchange, the bi-weekly show that explores the impact of AI in the Salesforce ecosystem. I'm Jakub Stefaniak, Salesforce Certified Technical Architect and VP of Technology Strategy and Innovation at Akiva Labs, where we help AppExchange partners accelerate their adoption of the latest technologies and get the most out of their Salesforce partnership. In each episode, we sit down with leaders from AppExchange ecosystem to discuss the latest trends and innovation in AI, product development opportunities, and ethical considerations. Our goal is to address critical challenges faced by business, build a community of engaged professionals, and provide insights into the latest trends and innovation in AI to help you stay informed and ahead of the curve. So, grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and let's dive into the world of AI and AppExchange. Welcome. Thank you for accepting our invitation. Could you at the beginning introduce your role in the AppExchange ecosystem?
Sure. So I joined the Salesforce ecosystem in actually 2008 when the company that I was working for was acquired by Salesforce. It was like a small startup called Instranet that kind of like was the spark for Service Cloud at the time. So then I spent 11 years at Salesforce. I worked 4 years as a product manager on Service Cloud. And then I worked about 6 years on CRM analytics, or you can call it Enchant Analytics, or you can call it Wave, whatever. So Enchant Analytics, but also Enchant Discovery. That was great. Then I had a small internship to another company that was not linked to the Salesforce ecosystem. But since 3 years and a half now, I've joined Odaseva. And, you know, Odaseva, so we are like an enterprise that helps Salesforce customers to protect and secure like Salesforce data against threats like lost data loss, data corruption, or invisibility for more than 10 years. And so we are usually working with the largest Salesforce customers, some people like, you know, Michelin or Schneider Electric or Manulife, to be able to protect them.
And you are the chief product officer. So we can speak a little bit about product today, right? I think Odaseva is one of these products which is like so widely known that it doesn't require a big introduction. But maybe as a first question, it's not a single product, right? Like looking on your AppExchange, you have like a few different apps. Is it correct understanding?
Yeah, no, we have plenty of application on AppExchange. We have our platform, I will call it Odaseva platform, that is really powering a lot of use cases that we are exposing on AppExchange. So the first and historical one is backup and restore. But we also have an AppExchange listing about data archiving to allow customers to kind of like offload data from the Salesforce environment to Odaseva to be able to keep the system super reactive and clean. We have another listing on data compliance, which allowing customers to help them to respect GDPR and CCPA within Salesforce. So, you know, how can I easily remove users in Salesforce or anonymize the users and respect all the residency law? And we have another one around what we call data automation, which is around how we can help developers do sandbox seeding, for example, or to replicate the data outside of Salesforce for AI and BI. And the last one that we have actually is a free one. It's called DailyExport.io. And it's a free backup for any customers who want to have like a free offering, where customers using this one, this package, they can backup up to 50,000 records per object. And all the data will be available for 30 days. So four package, as you can see, pretty pretty good Salesforce ISV.
Nice. And all of them are in one or another way connected to data. And especially with this Salesforce new slogan, CRM, AI, and data, whatever the sequence is correct, it sounds like with your scale of company, you are going to be in the middle of what Salesforce see as this AI front, right? So I'm curious, do you at this moment already have some generative AI or other AI-driven features
in your product, or it's still something what you are rather thinking about?
We definitely have and were working on some features around GenAI, but I think the question that everybody, you know, should be focused on is really to don't try to put GenAI in the product for the sake of putting GenAI in the product, but really come back to what you are doing, what is your mission, what are your customers expecting from you, and then from this, take it there and you know, use and leverage the capabilities of what can bring GenAI, and not the other side, right? Not starting from GenAI and trying to just do something. So the way that GenAI for me, the big things that I can see really right now in the short term is really to help our customers to use our product to get a better access. So that's really the way that we are looking to leverage GenAI.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. And I have a feeling there are lots of discussions about this, that on one hand, in the product management, we have all these bad stories about starting with technology and then struggling to find people who would like to use it. On the other hand, some people are saying that with current wave of generative AI, it's like similar to the moment when the first iPhone has the premiere. So we tell you have a new technology, and before first iPhone, it was not possible to think about Deliveroo, Uber, Tinder, you name it. And from this point of view, having a first idea how to implement something like Tinder is generally a nice comparing to being like in the second part of the market, which is a little bit waiting to see what are the capacities of the technology, right? So I'm curious to know your opinion. Do you consider the current wave of AI, generative AI, as really a revolution or rather evolution in terms of overall computer science?
I mean, from what I see, I really think that it's a revolution. And I think when you have a product and when ChatGPT opened the pilot on the world and they got like million of users in less than 2 weeks, you can feel like there is something there and the people were amazed. And it's like the line of adoptions, right? You have a big focus at the beginning. Then you have like some kind of people who get deceived by the technology. And after you have a long line of adoptions. And I think this was really true with GenAI, where at the beginning, you had like big expectations. Adoption was skyrocketing. And now people start to find some limitation. But I think you have an adoption which is undeniable. You see so many products who leverage AI. And I think that it's really bringing capabilities that was not possible before, that a lot of people was expecting even with AI, that this kind of became true with GenAI. So I think that there is really a revolution, but now it's like every technology, we need to find the right use case. We need also to be careful, and also be careful because I think the biggest challenge that I can see around GenAI is also the privacy, right? Is the fact that what do you do with the data? How do you respect the customer information with GenAI? And I think the privacy is extremely important. So I'm really glad that Salesforce, for example, as long as they launch GenAI, they also launch a trust layer, which is, I think, extremely important. But I think that for any ISV that need to adopt GenAI, they need to think about this at the beginning, at the conceptions. How do I respect the data that I'm going to use either to create a model or to prompt the model with? Because, I mean, it's really like a new system that you are going to plug in your architectures. And there is a lot of regulation there. And I think sometimes people don't realize when they adopt new technology, they think it's magic. They think everything is like Salesforce, like the backup is done, but actually, no, it's your responsibility. So, and GenAI is the same. It's your responsibility to take care of your data, and this needs to be a really important item on your list.
Fully agree. And you touch base on a topic which I think it's very interesting for most of ISVs, like decision. Is it worth to wait for Salesforce and follow their implementation with trust layers, or rather like explore? Because, you know, it's not only about OpenAI there as well, like different large language models available. Some of them you can literally host on your own. They are open source. Some of them are cheaper, some more expensive. So what is your overall strategy in this topic?
I think that it's complex because every other day you have a new announcement with a new model that appear with improvement from ChatGPT, from OpenAI. like it happened last week with their like custom ChatGPT announcement. So I think it's hard. You need to stick with the technology, but the technology is moving a lot, so decision is complex. But at the end of the day, I think you should not try at the beginning to reach for the best and fastest and most optimized. You need to start somewhere, and maybe you start with one thing, and it's not going to be the most interesting. But you need to start. You need to learn, and then you can switch. Once you have done your V1, you can move it to the V2 and get to the better system. But I think starting and trying to reach for the best at the beginning is not really like the should not be the target. It should be really like an agile, you know, type of methodology, start and make it better. So I think that's the first thing important. I think the second aspect to it is, and I think like everybody's struggling a little bit with that, is the monetization model, right? Because monetizations, Gen AI can be expensive. And you see a lot of product putting it as a beta in their product, which is great to get feedback, to get adoption. But at some point, somebody will have to pay for it because it's not free. So I think the monetization is also an aspect to take to really consider, which means that the use case you want to create need to be a use case with added value. If you just do a basic use case that is, you know, kind of like a nice to have and a kind of gadget, then you will have hard time to monetize it. And at the end of the day, it's going to be hard for you as a company to be able to justify the cost for the features.
Mm-hmm. And that's very interesting. So
yeah. Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to ask, because it may have built that, for example, if you have your solution for seeding sandboxes with some data, it sounds like a good use case for generative AI, but based on what you said, probably if you had implemented it using standard algorithms, it doesn't make sense to redevelop it to use a new technology, right? Because it's going to be more expensive and the value can be very similar for the end user.
No, exactly. And when I was working at Salesforce, I was working on Einstein Discovery at the time. I was in charge of the product. And we were speaking to a lot of customers. And at the time, you know, it was not about Gen AI, it was about predictive analytics. And it was about, oh, can I predict this information or that information? And what was really interesting is some customers sometimes wanted to predict stuff where predictive was not the best technology to use for it, right? It was possible that, hey, you know, if you just do some very simple math, you can get a better result than using a predictive model. And so I think the Gen AI is the same. Back to your point is, Gen AI is not the solution for everything. And it's really cool. It's really fun. But we really need to go back to say, okay, does it really provide the value?
That's for sure. So you mentioned that one of the challenges, and I see it as well, in our part of the business, when as consultants we are trying to stay at top of all of these new announcements, and literally just following newsletters can be full-time job nowadays with so many new things popping out every week. What is your approach with, or some tips, how to stay ahead in terms of at least the most important advancements? Do you have like some dedicated team in Odaseva who is following those, or maybe like your employees are they doing it on demand based on their current capabilities?
You mean about knowing about the new Gen AI capabilities that get delivered?
Exactly, new tools, new possibilities. So literally knowing what you can explore sooner or later.
Yeah, and I think that it's a great question, but for me it's really a continuity. Like if you look like Salesforce, right? Salesforce is releasing 3 releases a year, as you know, and you need to catch up with all this information also, right? How you know like all the great new features that Salesforce is delivering, you need to be able to stay up to date on that. You have new technology also in the ecosystem, you need to be up to date on that. So I don't see it as a new department you need to create. I don't see it as a new function. I just see it as a way to, okay, as a company, you need to just add a new channel of information to be stay up to date on this AI and Gen AI things. But I don't see it as a new function or new department. It's already something that should exist in your company, and you should really continue to pay attention to it.
Uh-huh. And what about these aspects related to security and compliance? So it's making sure that one of your Scrum teams isn't going to be too creative and figure out solution which is just not going to be as secure as it should be.
Yeah, no, I think people really need to be very careful about that, knowing what do you send as a prompt. Where does your prompt is going? Is it going to your hosted LLM model, which is then it's okay? or is it going to OpenAI? How OpenAI is going to use it? And I think this is a mindset that needs to be shared across all the team. So, you know, as Odaseva, because our mission is protect and secure, this is something is kind of part of our DNA. So it's something that's very, very, very cautious about it. But I think for other company, I think they need to be very careful about that. But at the end of the day, I think that also what people are need to really pay attention about it is your AI model or all this technology are going to be as good as the data you are going to feed them with. And so that's why on my side, as I would say, like even pretty much more excited about Data Cloud than Gen AI, because I feel like Data Cloud is really like the, I think it's mostly a bigger revolution than Gen AI in a way that it's a new storage where you can put a lot of information. You are not limited by the data storage of Salesforce that was kind of an issue for a lot of people, where you get big objects that got deployed, but I feel like the traction of big objects was never really there. But now you have this new data cloud things, and this data cloud is also like, it's going to be the oil for your Gen AI engine, right? Because if you have the technology, but you have no data to be able to feed it and get the right inside, that's, I think, going to be the, that should be the focus, I think, for really people to really understand the same way that you can do with Gen AI, what you can do with Data Cloud. How can I use it? How can I put it in my ISV product? How can I leverage it? Because I think this is a revolution and this is going to stay in the Salesforce ecosystem.
That's very interesting, especially after the first ask. This enterprise freemium model of Data Cloud started to be public. I think more and more people are starting to play with it and to check what are their capabilities. So good to say that you have so high expectations about it. And you touched base on the very interesting thing. Usually when people are thinking about generative AI, they are like single prompts and then like it are single conversations. But from company with so strong focus on data and big amount of data, right? So we are talking about literally one of the biggest Salesforce orgs and everything what they have in their history. I'm curious, do you see generative AI as a technology which can help with so bulk kind of operation and massive amount of information?
Like to help them, you mean to clean the data, for example, or to...
I mean, either clean or kind of pre-proceed, do something with it. I'm just on technical point of view curious, because of this limitation with cost and so on, do you see that one day it can be like realistic to process everything that we have in our data backup via generative AI, or rather it's just not good fit for this technology?
I think, again, I think that you just need to find the right use case. The target is not to put everywhere Gen AI, to really leverage the right use case, and also to don't try, you know, what happened with ChatGPT, for example, right? Where they launched a new last week, new capabilities, like, for example, PDF, where they now can search on the PDF that you are uploading. And instantly, they have killed like three startups doing that. So as an ISV, I will be careful about building stuff too close to Salesforce because they have all the data. They are working to create what is most valuable features, which makes total sense. They should do that and they are doing it, which is amazing. And as an ISV, I will just like look at, again, based on your mission, what makes sense for you to be able to leverage that.
That makes sense. I really like this metaphor that when the iPhone was published, like one of the most successful app was literally to enable LED to make a torch. And it was awesome app for like a few months until Apple just make exactly this aspect of the product. Yeah? So if you are doing something easy, don't be surprised that it's easy to exactly just put it in the core of the product. Okay, so maybe for a second, let's speak about not only stuff related to ethics, but to biases. And lots of people are a little bit afraid of using generative AI exactly because it's not so predictable. You can get different results. And then like this way how the model was trained have like some negative sides, right? So do you see it as a blocker or something where every ISV can just wait for Salesforce to solve with trust layer?
Yeah, no, I think that it's also a really big consideration to do when you embrace it. And I think, you know, like first looking at if you want to do fine tuning or embedding or like grounding to really like, because the two different technology have two different effects. Like, for example, if you are doing granding slash embedding, you kind of like restrict GenAI to the corpus of data you are sending them. So you are much better in control with the answers from the models that you will get. Obviously, your scope is going to be much more narrow in terms of question you can ask, but you are much more sure of what you will get. Where if using, you know, the full model, you can definitely go sideways and get some answers. So I think that having first a choice of the way you want to use GenAI may change and reduce largely the risk of, you know, hallucination of really like completely sideways answers. A good thing I think is also the customers are kind of educated and sent to, you know, the OpenAI, the ChatGPT pilot. The fact that sometimes the answers can be bizarre. And I, you know, I feel like it's the same education that you have on internet. Not everything on internet is correct. Not sure if you knew about that, but be careful. There is some weird articles that you should not believe. And I think GenAI is the same, you know, as much is very powerful and complex. Some answers may be confusing. And I feel like and on the other side, as long as in your software, in your application, you are clear that this answer comes from an automatic assistant, you need to be very clear about that to be sure that the customer will take it in this way and they will put some guardrail in their mind when they will get your answers.
Exactly. So from this moment, we can start asking our customers to be the final decision maker and approve this output, right? Awesome. Thank you for sharing your insights with us. It was very useful to hear them. And thank you for joining our show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much for tuning into this episode of AI Innovations Meets App Exchange. We hope you enjoyed the insightful discussion and found this episode valuable. To stay updated on our latest episodes, be sure to sign up for our newsletter and never miss a beat. If you have any questions or want to engage with us further, we'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn. Until next time, keep exploring the exciting world of AI and App Exchange.